For Sunday, August 5th, 2018, this is Epitome. Episode 76. What is Education? Thomas Henry Huxley, 1825 to 1895, was a British biologist, educator, and agnostic. In fact, he coined the term at a meeting of the Metaphysical Society in London. Commenting on the word, Huxley said, "It came into my head as suggestively antithetical to the Gnostic of church history, who professed to know so much about the very things of which I was ignorant." Huxley was also famous as Darwin's bulldog because of his championing of the revolutionary naturalist's theory of evolution, while still critiquing it. The following is an excerpt from his essay, A Liberal Education and Where to Find It, published in 1868. What is education? Above all things, what is our ideal of a thoroughly liberal education, of that education which, if we could begin life again, we would give ourselves, of that education which, if we could mold the fates to our own will, we would give our children? Well, I know not what may be your conceptions upon this matter, but I will tell you mine, and I hope I shall find that our views are not very discrepant. Suppose it were perfectly certain that the life and fortune of every one of us would one day or other depend upon his winning or losing a game of chess. Don't you think that we should all consider it to be a primary duty to learn at least the names and moves of the pieces, to have a notion of a gambit and a keen eye for all the means of giving and getting out of check? Don't you think that we should look with a disapprobation amounting to scorn upon the father who allowed his son, or the state which allowed its members, to grow up without knowing a pawn from a knight? Yet it is a very plain and elementary truth that the life, the fortune, and the happiness of every one of us, and more or less of those who are connected with us, do depend upon our knowing something of the rules of a game infinitely more difficult and complicated than chess. It is a game which has been played for untold ages, every man and woman of us being one of the two players in a game of his or her own. The chessboard is the world. The pieces are the phenomena of the universe. The rules of the game are what we call the laws of nature. The player on the other side is hidden from us. We know that his play is always fair, just, and patient, but also we know, to our cost, that he never overlooks a mistake or makes the smallest allowance for ignorance. To the man who plays well, the highest stakes are paid with that sort of overwhelming generosity with which the strong shows delight in strength, and one who plays ill is checkmated, without haste, but without remorse. My metaphor will remind some of you of the famous picture in which Brecht depicted Satan playing at chess with man for his soul. Substitute for the mocking fiend in that picture a calm, strong angel who is playing for love, as we say, and would rather lose than win, and I should accept it as an image of human life. Well, what I mean by education is learning the rules of this mighty game. In other words, education is the instruction of the intellect in the laws of nature, under which name I include not merely things and their forces, but men and their ways, and the fashioning of the affections and of the will into an earnest and loving desire to move in harmony with those laws. For me, education means neither more nor less than this. Anything which professes to call itself education must be tried by this standard, and if it fails to stand the test, I will not call it education, whatever may be the force of authority or of numbers upon the other side. It is important to remember that, in strictness, there is no such thing as an uneducated man. Take an extreme case. Suppose that an adult man, in the full vigor of his faculties, could be suddenly placed in the world, as Adam is said to have been, and then left to do as he best might. How long would he be left uneducated? Not 5 minutes. Nature would begin to teach him, through the eye, the ear, the touch, the properties of objects. Pain and pleasure would be at his elbow, telling him to do this and avoid that, and by slow degrees the man would receive an education which, if narrow, would be thorough, real, and adequate to his circumstances, though there would be no extras and very few accomplishments. And if to this solitary man entered a second Adam, or better still, an Eve, a new and greater world, that of social and moral phenomena would be revealed, joys and woes, compared with which all others might seem but faint shadows, would spring from the new relations. Happiness and sorrow would take the place of the coarser monitors, pleasure and pain, but conduct would still be shaped by the observation of the natural consequences of actions, or in other words, by the laws of the nature of man. To every one of us, the world was once as fresh and new as to Adam, and then, long before we were susceptible to any other modes of instruction, nature took us in hand, and every minute of waking life brought its educational influence, shaping our actions into rough accordance with nature's laws, so that we might not be ended untimely by too gross disobedience. Nor should I speak of this process of education as past for anyone, be he as old as he may. For every man the world is as fresh as it was at the first day, and as full of untold novelties for him who has the eyes to see them. And nature is still continuing her patient education of us in that great university, the universe, of which we are all members, nature having no test acts. Those who take honors in nature's university, who learn the laws which govern men and things and obey them, are the really great and successful men in this world. The great mass of mankind pick up just enough to get through without much discredit. Those who won't learn at all are plucked, and then you can't come up again. Nature's pluck means extermination. Thus, the question of compulsory education is settled, so far as nature is concerned. Her bill on that question was framed and passed long ago. But, like all compulsory legislation, that of nature is harsh and wasteful in its operation. Ignorance is visited as sharply as willful disobedience. Incapacity meets with the same punishment as crime. Nature's discipline is not even a word and a blow, and the blow first, but the blow without the word. It is left to you to find out why your ears are boxed. The object of what we commonly call education, that education in which man intervenes, and which I shall distinguish as artificial education, is to make good these defects in nature's methods, to prepare the child to receive nature's education neither incapably nor ignorantly, nor with willful disobedience, and to understand the preliminary symptoms of her pleasure, without waiting for the box on the ear. In short, all artificial education ought to be an anticipation of natural education, and a liberal education is an artificial education which has not only prepared a man to escape the great evils of disobedience to natural laws, but has trained him to appreciate and to seize upon the rewards which nature scatters with as free a hand as her penalties. That man, I think, has had a liberal education who has been so trained in youth that his body is the ready servant of his will, and does with ease and pleasure all the work that, as a mechanism, it is capable of, whose intellect is a clear, cold, logic engine, with all its parts of equal strength and in smooth working order, ready, like a steam engine, to be turned to any kind of work and spin the gossamers as well as forge the anchors of the mind, whose mind is stored with a knowledge of the great and fundamental truths of nature and of the laws of her operations. One who, no stunted ascetic, is full of life and fire, but whose passions are trained to come to heel by a vigorous will, the servant of a tender conscience, who has learned to love all beauty, whether of nature or of art, to hate all vileness, and to respect others as himself. Such an one, and no other, I conceive, has had a liberal education, for he is as completely as a man can be, in harmony with nature. He will make the best of her, and she of him. They will get on together rarely, she as his ever-beneficent mother, he as her mouthpiece, her conscious self, her minister and interpreter. Until our next episode, this is Bob Gonzalez wishing you the finest artificial and natural education, and as always, the most excellent time of your life.